NASA released the first images transmitted by the rover Perseverance this week after successfully landing on the surface of Mars. Photos and video captured scenes of jubilation from the mission control team at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California following the touchdown last Thursday. A member of that team hails from Hawaii. Christopher Pong is a guidance and control engineer at NASA. Pong grew up in Kaneohe on Oahu. He attended Kapuna Hala Elementary and Punahou School. He built model rockets with his dad and remembers first hearing about the NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL, at Future Flight Hawaii, an educational space camp on Hawaii Island, before going to Harvey Mudd for a bachelor's degree in general engineering, followed by grad school at MIT. He's now been with NASA since 2014. Pong spoke with HPR's Jason Ubai about that historic day and his role in the mission.
When I first started at JPL, I started working on a project called Asteria. And it was actually a project that I had started as a grad school at MIT. We wanted someone to take it all the way to space. And so JPL was really interested in finishing the project. And so me and actually one other grad student at the time, we both ended up working at JPL and working on this project. And it's basically a small space telescope about the size of a shoebox. It launched in 2018 and was designed to study nearby bright stars and look for exoplanets around them, similar to what previous missions like Kepler and TESS have done, but focusing on the really bright stars, such as Alpha Centauri.
That's in around Earth's orbit right now?
So it was, it got launched up to the International Space Station and just sort of pushed out the airlock, basically. And it burned up in Earth's orbit, I think it was March 2020. So it lasted about 2 years in orbit, and we lost communication with it a few months before it was supposed to burn up. It's completed all of its primary objectives, and people were working on some really cool technology applications after that. One of the cool things is that it did confirm, it was a technology demonstration primarily, and is able to prove really precise pointing, and also as a technology demonstration that, you know, real science can be done on CubeSats. So this was a CubeSat. Yeah.
What was your role there, and how long you've been working on this, and what was your role on the team getting to the last week?
So I started on the Mars 2020 project in 2016, and my role on it was as a cruise attitude control subsystem engineer, ACS for short. And what this subsystem does is it does three things. It turns the spacecraft. So it gets, first of all, it has to determine what the attitude of the spacecraft is, the attitude being the orientation in space. It does that with a couple of sensors primarily, so a sun sensor and a star scanner. With that information, it then can fire the thrusters so that it can turn to point at the sun, point at the Earth, and it also performs trajectory correction maneuvers, TCMs for short. And those are used to adjust the trajectory from as Perseverance is flying from Earth to Mars.
As you're developing this technology, what are the biggest challenges that you're facing? What could go wrong as it's getting from Earth to Mars?
Well, I guess Mars 2020 is kind of a different mission in the sense that a lot of it has relied upon heritage, at least for the cruise stage and the cruise phase of the mission. So a lot of the software and hardware were largely the same as previous missions. So in that sense, it was very similar. You know, we had, there weren't any new challenges. Honestly, the biggest challenge was really just making sure that the knowledge of these past missions got transferred to people such as myself. Our team was composed of a lot of younger engineers, and I just needed to make sure that we didn't, you know, miss any important pieces of information that, you know, the previous people who have worked on the past missions had, you know, didn't pass along. So
there's a lot of institutional knowledge at NASA that needed to be passed down to you guys, the younger staff members. Did you have more veteran engineers and scientists working on the project?
I guess the way we really handled that institutional knowledge transfer was through meetings. We called them GNC, or Guidance and Control, GNC Technical Advisors Group. So every so often we'd present, either test results or analyses. And during, we had a lot more of them throughout the actual operations phase, presenting, you know, what we did and how it all happened. And, you know, they'd give a lot of really good insights as to, you know, oh, maybe you should think about this or look into that more. So, yeah, that really helped. And we're definitely standing on the shoulders of giants here with all of their help.
How were you feeling on Thursday when the Perseverance was about to land on the surface of Mars?
Yeah, I mean, there was just a ton of different emotions, excitement beforehand, and also definitely apprehension. You know, there's so many things that could go wrong. We're looking at the telemetry very closely at the very end, and, you know, any tiny little deviation from what was nominal, you know, was really looked under the microscope and, you know, sort of blown out of proportion in a sense. We had this really big heightened sense of paranoia just before landing. Yeah, during the landing itself, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I couldn't even think. I could hear all the chatter around me, like, oh, is this expected? Should this have happened yet? Why haven't we seen this? But, you know, everything went according to plan. There's tons of joy and relief after we successfully made it on the ground. And actually a little bit of sadness. You know, the team, about five people, I was the one that was selected to be there on that shift on landing. And, you know, it's kind of sad that I wasn't able to be there with them, people that I worked closely with over the past few years. So the room was filled to about half capacity, if you look at some of the previous of other missions landing in the past. Yeah, you'll see that there are a lot more people there. And now, due to COVID-19, we had to really reduce the amount of people to make sure that it was safe for everyone. You know, we had to be spaced apart. We all had to wear N95 masks. Yeah, normally there would be at least two or three people from our subsystem there. But because of that, we had to pick one. And I was that lucky person that got to be there.
Now that the rover has landed, what is your task there now and role during this mission?
Yeah, so my role on Mars 2020 is largely over. There's a little bit of work for me to do to reconstruct basically what happened for cruise attitude control right before landing and also throughout cruise itself. But beyond that, my next project that I'm working on is called the Sample Retrieval Lander. So Perseverance will now start collecting samples on Mars, and it'll find a place to leave these samples. And this next mission, Sample Retrieval Lander, will actually drive its own rover out to these samples, collect them, bring it back to a rocket that it has brought. It'll bring it back to a rocket that was brought along with the lander, and it'll be launched into Mars orbit, and then another mission will actually catch that sample and bring it all the way back to Earth. So it'll be exciting.
Well, and when will the rocket holding the sample when will that be launched? And I guess when can we expect to have the Mars rocks on Earth?
You know, I'm not actually sure of the exact timeline, partially because it's still a little bit up in the air. Probably the most firm dates, which are still very much not firm, is the launch date of the sample retrieval lander. That's either going to happen in 2026 or 2028. So it'll be a while before these samples actually make it back to Earth. It'll be sometime in the 2030s.
That was Hawaii's Christopher Pong, a guidance and control engineer at NASA. He was talking with the Conversation's Jason Ubai about the Mars 2020 mission.